Let's go ahead and do what we do, which is study the Word of God verse by verse. We are in the book of Judges as we begin today, although we're looking at a time when there's an overlap of information between the book of Judges and the book of Joshua. Because what's likely happened is that the initial phase of Joshua defeating 30-some of the key fortified cities of Canaan is that took place in about 6 years' time. And now in the 47th year of the Exodus, which on our calendar would be about 1410 BC, I think, the instruction of God to Joshua is, all right, start divvying up the land of the promise to the different tribes and tell them where they're going to be responsible for living. So the Judah tribe is given their allotment first. The tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, they are given theirs as well. And almost instantly, it would appear, at the impetus of Caleb, who is from the tribe of Judah, the Judah army moves into the area south of Jerusalem and starts taking property. First, they take Bezek, and then they take Kiriath Arba, or Hebron, which becomes the personal home site of Caleb. And then from there, they head over to a place that used to be called Kiriath Sefer, but which will be given the name Debir. And Caleb makes a promise. The guy who takes this city is going to get to marry my daughter. And his nephew, Othniel, is the one that actually becomes the hero of the Battle of Kiriath Sefer. And it becomes his territory. He and his wife, Aksa, they get not just simply the city, but they get the fields around it, and they get some key springs. We pick up the story where we left off yesterday in verse 16 of Judges 1. The descendants of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up with the people of Judah from the city of Palms, that's Jericho, or the ruins of Jericho, because that's where Gilgal is located right now, into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the Negev, that's the southern desert, near Arad, and they went and settled with the people. So this is where we find out that at least some of Moses' in-laws have attached themselves to the tribe of Judah, and they have moved into an area to the south and east of Hebron, and they are starting to run their animals there because they're going to keep a Bedouin lifestyle. Verse 17 says, "And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they defeated the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath and devoted it to destruction. So the name of that city is called Hormah." Hormah means destruction. "Judah also captured Gaza with its territory, and Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory." Now this is interesting, because those are Philistine cities. Joshua had been told by God when he was giving the allotment to Judah that the Philistine plain area along the Mediterranean was going to be part of the Judah allotment, but that there were still Philistines living there that needed to be taken care of. So this is where we find out that the first push of the Judean tribal army toward the Mediterranean defeated three of the five cities of the Philistines, Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron. But apparently, based on information that comes up not too far in the distant future, they never occupied those cities. So the Philistines that survived those attacks moved right back in and probably reinforced their cities and managed to set up a resistance to the Judean tribal expansion their direction. And that seems to be a pattern we see a lot of in the book of Joshua, as is talking about the tribal allotments, and in the book of Judges, that while they had been given the land and God was willing to help them take the land, they chose of their own free will not to follow fully through with that. Okay, verse number 19. He who is was with Judah, and he took possession of the hill country, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. And I'd like to retranslate that as they would not drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. It's not that they couldn't have, because if God told them that they would have victory if they'd just move forward, those chariots of iron wouldn't have made a difference. Not a bit. But they chose not to, just like the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh refused to go down and take the Mediterranean plain area and also some of the Valley of Jezreel area because they saw chariots down there. And so they didn't want to take that on, and so they lost out on that territory. Verse 20, Hebron was given to Caleb as Moses had said, and he drove out from it the three sons of Anak. We knew about that. It's been told to us twice now in the stories. But the people of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites have lived with the people of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Now, Jerusalem is right on a little jog in the line between the Judah allotment and the Benjamin allotment. It happens to be on the Benjamin side. We found out earlier that the people of Judah are not running out the Jebusites who live on their side of the border. They're just not dealing with them. They're leaving them in place. While now we find out that the Benjamites aren't bothering to take out the Jebusites who actually live in the city of Jebus or Jerusalem that's on their side of the border. So when the inspired writer of this book, probably a prophet, maybe a priest, writing very likely up in the time of David, says, because of the choices made by the Judeans and the Benjamites in the past, Jerusalem is Canaanite territory, not Israeli. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, that David designated it as his future capital of a united Israel, because no tribe had ever controlled it as their own. So it was perfectly neutral in the minds of Israelis. Verse number 22, the house of Joseph, oh, wait a second, I don't want to do that yet. We're going to save that for later. At this point, let's go back to our book of Joshua, where we stopped off. Joshua chapter number 18. Joshua chapter number 18. My guess is that once the Judea and the Simeonite push into their tribal areas was finished. That would have been right around the same time as the end of the harvest year for most everybody else. And this would have been the end of the sixth year of the Israelis working the property, having arrived in the land. So that means in the fall of the year would have been the start of the sabbatical year, the very first sabbatical year. And they're supposed to take that year off. It also has a big gathering that's supposed to take place where the book of the law is read aloud to everyone. So this is a really big year to get together. And so chapter 18, I believe, is describing that first sabbatical year gathering. And it tells us where it takes place. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, "Then the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land lay subdued before them." Now, Shiloh is located midway between where Jerusalem's at and Shechem, where Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim is located. So it is pretty central to all of the tribal areas on the west side of the Jordan in the Promised Land proper. And it's really not too terribly far away from the annexed territories that are east of the Jordan River as well. So this becomes the first place that they set up the tabernacle after it had been set up at Gilgal for quite a few years. So I don't believe it was ever set up at Shechem. I think the blessing and cursing ceremony was a special ceremony and did not involve the tabernacle. But the tabernacle probably was at Gilgal for about 6 years. And now, as the seventh year begins, they move it to the place where it will be from now until the time of Samuel the prophet. So a couple hundred years into the future. And then we're told, of course, that the land is subdued before them, meaning that Joshua has gone through and he's taken out all the key fortified cities. And they're not being attacked by any Canaanites because they've pushed the Canaanites out and away. The Judeans have even started taking additional territory down to the south. Verse number 2. "There remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned." Because you see, earlier you'd had the 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan. They got theirs. They actually got their stuff from Moses. And then you had the tribe of Judah and the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, the Joseph tribes. They got their territory. So that leaves seven more that need to be told, this is your property. Verse 3. "So Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which he who is the God of your fathers has given you?'" Now, this is interesting. It doesn't seem to be any dragging of Joshua's feet that has led to this situation, but rather the tribal leaders don't seem to be interested in moving out of the temporary territory that they're in right now, like the territory down by Jericho, the territory up and along the wadi that goes up to Bethel, past Ai, or the territory up by Shechem. They seem to be perfectly comfortable just moving forward with what they're doing. It would appear that the tribe of Judah, probably because of Caleb, was chomping at the bit. They wanted their property, so they got their assignment. And then the tribes of Joshua, Joshua's family, that would be the Joseph tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, they also seemed to be interested in getting their territory. So those three tribes were like pushing. But the rest of these guys, they're not bothering. So here we are probably at the sabbatical Feast of Tabernacles time period. And Joshua goes, what's with the rest of you guys? You need to get on the ball and start getting your territory under control. Verse 4, "Provide 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out that they may set up and go out and down the land, and they will write a description of it with a view to their inheritance and then come to me. They shall divide it into seven portions. Judah shall continue in his territory on the south. The house of Joseph shall continue in their territory to the north. Because where Shiloh's at, that's kind of the way it's arranged. You shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the description here to me. And I will cast lots for you here before he who is our God. The Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord, or he who is their heritage. And Gad and Reuben and half of the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan eastward, which Moses, the servant of he who is, gave them. So Joshua comes up with this plan. It says, you need to designate three representatives from each of your tribes. They can get together in a survey team. And they can go out and look at all of the territory that has not yet been assigned. And then divide it up into seven portions. They can arrange that themselves. And then I will work with the high priest, and we will cast the divine lot and assign each tribe to one of these seven portions. Now, this is a little bit like that old story about, I think it's usually a grandmother who wants to divide the last bit of cake up between two kids. And each of them, you know, has got that greedy mindset in mind that they want a big piece. And so the grandma says, you, fellow, are going to get to pick first, but you, other fellow, you get to slice the cake. Now, what does the effect have? It means that that person is going to be very, very careful to make sure that the slice is perfectly equal, because he knows the other guy gets to pick first and he gets the second slice. Well, that's kind of what happens here. These seven groups are teamed together to designate seven tribal regions. And their tribe will, by God's lot, get one of these. So they are going to be very, very careful to make each lot wonderful and attractive and desirable. Verse number 8. So the men arose and they went, and Joshua charged those who went to write the description of the land, saying, go up and down the land, write a description, return to me. I'll cast lots for you here before he who is in Shiloh. So the men went, and they passed up and down in the land, and they wrote in a book a description of it by towns and seven divisions. And then they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh, and Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before he who is. And there Joshua apportioned the land to the people of Israel, to each his portion. And what follows next in the book of Joshua is what those guys wrote down and how the lot fell. And I'm going to tell you once more that you will be so much more comfortable, more than likely, looking at a map and seeing where these different places are and understanding how the land gets divided up amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm going to skip an awful lot of the proper names through here and the directions, because it's a little bit like reading from the index of a map. And a lot of the names are totally unfamiliar, and a lot of the places we don't know absolutely certain where they're at. So let's do the highlight bits of these territories. Verse 11, the lot of the tribe of the people of Benjamin, according to its clans, came up, and the territory allotted to it fell between the people of Judah and the people of Joseph. So there's this pocket between Judah on the south and the tribe of Ephraim to the north, I believe. Might have been Manasseh. One of the tribes of Joseph on the north. And so the tribe boundary starts at the Jordan, and it follows along through pretty much this idea of the wadi that's north of Jericho, all the way up to Bethel, right in that area. And then eventually it cuts south and hits the the boundary for the tribe of Judah. And it ends up with the Benjamite tribe actually getting Jerusalem inside its boundaries. And you can see all of the tribal names mentioned there in verses 21 through 28, all the 14 cities that belong to Benjamin. Verse 1 of chapter 19, the second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the people of Simeon, according to their clans, and their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the people of Judah. And then you see the names of specific cities, including Beersheba, and Hormah, and Ziklag. These are places that we're familiar with in other stories. These fall to the Simeonite tribe. So you've got this strange situation of the big tribal region of Judah to the south having little pock marks in it, little spots in it where the Simeonites live. Now, verse 9 explains, the inheritance of the people of Simeon formed part of the territory of the people of Judah because the portion of the people of Judah was too large for them, and the people of Simeon obtained an inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. So evidently, these representatives said, you know what? Judah's got too much. That's too big of a bite. Let's identify certain cities within Judah as part of the inheritance for a singular tribe. And so that's apparently how it worked out. Verse 10, the third lot came up for the people of Zebulun according to their clans. And their clan, their territory of their inheritance reached as far as Sarid, and their boundary goes up westward and on to Mariel, touches Dabasheth, and the brook that is east of Jokneam. Now that means that we're talking about a place up in the valley of Jezreel, or the valley of, that is the plain of Megiddo. And so then it mentions the cities that are part of this. And there are cities in the plain that is to the north and west of Carmel. Verse 17, the fourth lot came out for Issachar, for the people of Issachar, according to their clans. And then you have all the cities mentioned within it. And this is up in the Northland, up in Galilee region. The fifth lot, verse 24, came out for the tribe of the people of Asher according to their clans. And their territory included, and it lists off all of these cities. It touches Mount Carmel. It has places like Kabul, which is interesting to me because that's the name of my hometown I grew up in. Kabul is in the region to the north of the valley of Jezreel slash plain of Megiddo. It's up in the hill country just to the west of Upper Galilee. And so all of this belongs to the tribe of Asher, and they've got access to the Mediterranean. Verse 32, the sixth lot came out for the people of Naphtali, for the people of Naphtali according to their clans. And again, you've got a whole big old list of places here, and it also is up in the north of the land of Israel. Seventh lot came out for the tribe of the people of Dan according to their clans. Now, this one I want to spend a little bit of time on because it sets the story for a later sets the stage for a later story. The territory of their inheritance included places like Zorah, Eshtaol, you can see Elon, Ajalon, Ekron is in that list, Baalat, Gath Rimmon. All of these places are over by Joppa, which is on the coast. When the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them, the people of Dan went up and fought against Leshem. And after capturing it and striking it with a sword, they took possession of it and settled in it, calling it Leshem, Dan, after the name of Dan, their ancestor. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Dan, according to their clans, these cities with their villages. So what we effectively have is the tribe of Dan gets this chunk that has a lot of the coastal plain in it, and they decide they don't want to try to mess with the Canaanites in their territory. So a group of them go up north to the extreme north of the Promised Land, and they take over a city there and name it Dan, even though that's not where they belong. Well, have a great weekend, and I'll see you on Monday, Lord willing.